Welcome back to the MP Access Show, brought to you live from the Five Star Conference 24. I'm your host, Robert Wilson, VP of Experience at Five Star, and I'm excited to bring you another fantastic episode. Today, we're diving deep into the complexities of mortgage law with someone who has spent decades shaping the legal landscape, Stephen Laddick, partner of Laddick, Honorato, and Fetterman. Stephen brings incredible insights from his time as Deputy Attorney General and now as a key figure in the mortgage foreclosure, bankruptcy, and regulatory compliance. In this episode, Stephen and I discuss the evolving challenges servicers face in today's market, from compliance with regulations like FDCPA and RESPA to the importance of proactive communication with borrowers. Plus, we'll explore how his firm is helping servicers navigate the complexities of loss mitigation and foreclosure. We've got plenty more interviews coming your way live from FSC 2024, but for now, let's jump into this conversation with Stephen Laddick. Let's go. And welcome back. You are live listening to the MP Access Show at Five Star Conference 2024. This is the MP Access Show. I am your host, Vice President of Experience for Five Star, Robert Wilson, and I have a guest on the show today that needs no introduction. He is a partner at Laddick, Honorato, and Fetterman, all the way from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Mr. Stephen Laddick. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you doing today?
I could not be any better. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, I'm just excited that you're here, and I'm excited to see somebody from Philadelphia. It's nice to see somebody from home.
How about them Phillies, huh?
Hey, I can't complain about that. Isn't that like the first time that they've... It's amazing because they've had so much success over the last 5 or 6 years and going to the World Series twice and... It's a shame what happened last year, but we don't even talk about it. But and this is the first time they won the division in like 8 years or something like that,
since 2011.
Wow,
it's hard to believe.
That is very hard to believe.
So it's going
to
be a fun October at home.
It's going. Oh man, I miss it. I miss Wawa. Oh, I miss so many things. But we can talk about that later. Stephen, as a partner at Laddick, Honorato and Fetterman, can you tell us about your primary focus within the firm and how your legal practice has evolved over the years?
Sure. Great question. And thanks again for having me. I actually started my career in the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office. I was there for a total of 6 years and became head of the Bureau of Consumer Protection in Harrisburg, which at that time, we spent a lot of time doing multi-state cases with other state AGs where we were suing all the lenders, servicers, mortgage investors, and things for RESPA and TILA and UDAP violations, and just a phenomenal amount of experience, phenomenal amount of being able to work on complicated trial work and complicated matters, and went into private practice and went over to the side where I now represent all the mortgage servicers and investors and things. And we have evolved and grown over time where we handle all kinds of default work for our clients, from foreclosure and bankruptcy and REO to eviction to defense work, regulatory work, licensing work, administrative work. You know, the experience at the AG's office is just invaluable when it comes to this stuff. So
That's great. That's fantastic. And you also have had a lot of significant experience with UDAP, FDCPA, RESPA and TILA cases. How do you approach these complex areas of lending law, and what trends are you seeing in this space?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's a great question. Is the alphabet soup of all those federal regulatory statutes. I mean, UDAP continues to evolve. It used to be UDAP, and now it's UDAAP, where they've actually added to it. So you are finding that it's abusive acts now, not just your regular fraud, can actually fall within it. So the context and the scope of that entire type of litigation has expanded, and it's opened the door to a lot of claims against lender servicers. So we have to be on the lookout, and it's complex work to be able to defend those cases. That's on the federal side. State side too, you see a lot more of a statewide enforcement. You asked about trends I'm seeing. What I see is a lot of Fair Credit Reporting Act. There's another alphabet soup for you, FCRA. See a lot of that now. The borrower's lawyers are getting very savvy in their ability to contest foreclosures and come up with things. And just the compliance side that's required now on the mortgage servicing side, it's astronomical what it takes to be fully compliant these days.
Wow. So you did speak at Mortgage Servicing Forum. Can you give us an overview of the key issues servicers face today and how can they best navigate these challenges?
Yeah, that's another great question. And it was truly a pleasure to be able to moderate and MC that forum yesterday. The lineup of speakers was outstanding. I mean, to be able to hear directly from your participants, your in the market, from the GSEs to FHA and HUD and VA all being there to the servicer side of things. There was one common theme that kept hearing from everyone, which was the changes in loss mitigation, how it's evolved, how it's become complex. And it's so up in the air right now what's going to happen with the changes to Reg X and when and what's going to be required. It's confusing down the line, and it's going to be tough. I mean, if people can just call in and request loss mitigation, it's going to be very difficult from a compliance standpoint, especially for law firms. You know, that was a very common theme yesterday, discussing that in the new VA program too, VASP, which is going to be very key starting October 1st. So
you got your hands full.
Yeah. Well, that stuff keeps us busy, though.
Yeah, it definitely keeps you busy. But how do you work with clients to develop strategies that address both bankruptcy and foreclosure in a way that aligns with their business objectives?
You're asking really good questions. I always start with the premise, no servicer, no bank, no lender, they don't want to foreclose. They don't want to take somebody's house. And they are doing everything within their power to try, if that person wants to stay in their house, they want to help them preserve it. When it comes to us, you'd be surprised that a vast majority of the foreclosures that come into our office, the borrower's deceased and the heirs just don't want the property. And the lender has no choice. They have to go through foreclosure. So on a typical owner-occupied residential property, you know, we're working with our clients to do everything. If there is loss mitigation, if there is an application, reaching out to that borrower if they file a contesting answer saying, what are you looking for? What type of relief? If you want to stay in the home, that's one path. We can all work together with the lender, servicer, and the borrower. If you just want what Philadelphia calls the graceful exit, you know, it's like we can work with that too. You know, we'll give you X number of days and help you with some relocation assistance. But you got to be out in front of it. As soon as you hear that communication from the borrower, communicating with them about what is your ultimate goal here? You know, where do you want to go with the property?
Wow. Oh, wow. You're listening to the MP Access Show. You're listening to Mr. Stephen Laddick. A couple more questions for you. You serve as the chair of the advisory council on the Legal League 100, or just Legal League now. Can you share some of the key initiatives the council is working on to support the mortgage servicing industry?
The Legal League is an invaluable part of the mortgage trade industry group, and we've done a lot in the last few years. I mean, COVID changed the landscape of every trade organization and the mortgage industry. So what have we been working on? We've been working on education, coming up with education courses and certifications to actually train mortgage servicing employees. We've developed a webinar system, or we have 5 to 6 webinars per year, which have been outstanding, outstanding topics, terrific speakers, cutting edge legal issues. And the attendance of that continues to grow every month. I mean, a big shout out to Jane Bond, the vice chair of the Legal League Advisory Council, who has spearheaded that. We've revamped our Legal League quarterly, where we've been putting that out now with a lot of good content and articles for the industry on, you know, there's always issues percolating amongst the states, and we need to be able to bring those to the attention of the mortgage industry. Through our conferences and our summits, we had a great servicer summit here at the 5-Star, where it was all about discussing ideas and solutions. There are issues servicers face every day from a regulatory standpoint, from a compliance standpoint, from a cost-saving standpoint. Inflation doesn't just impact the consumer at the grocery store. It impacts businesses, too. And law firms, servicers need to find ways to work together so we can efficiently accomplish the task, but help save money too.
I love everything that you're saying about working together, working with people, communication, getting out in front of things. So I want to speak a little bit about your public service and community involvement. In addition to your legal career, you've served as the school director and on various community boards. How has your public service experience influenced your work as an attorney, and how do you balance both roles?
Wow, it's another great question. It's yes, I was on the North Penn School Board in Pennsylvania for 10 years and served as the finance committee chair of that. And at the time, that budget was $250 million.
And that school is huge. Go ahead, keep going.
At the time, it was like the fifth largest school district in the state. I don't know where we're at now, but it's an enormous school district and with a really good football team, by the way. Yeah. And could never figure out why the basketball team doesn't win, but the football team, very good. But what invaluable experience. I mean, and people don't realize, you know, school directors in Pennsylvania, it's zero compensation. You are not paid for that position. And it's not one of the most popular positions either, because
no, it's not.
Every year you have to consider raising taxes. So yes, it's not the most popular thing on earth. But and it was meetings 4 or 5 nights a week, every week for 10 years. And, you know, my family really gave me the time to be able to do that. But I always believed in giving back to the community and being involved in education. What better way to give back to help promote education? So did that, and I've served on volunteer committees, boards, other things within our community. You know, it's part of being a lawyer is just not 9 to 5 going in and sitting at your desk. You know, being a lawyer is being a professional. And sometimes being a professional is more than just day-to-day legal work. It's being out there in your community. And like, just for instance, our firm participating in the Wills for Heroes with the county bar, just for veterans and being able to do estate planning for them for free. Being involved like that, it's rewarding too. I mean, you get some self, you know, appreciation for being involved and seeing something good happen in your community.
It is very rewarding, but I think that I would be remiss if I didn't say how difficult, especially growing up in this area as a child. I grew up in that community for basically my whole life, since I was in second grade all the way until I was graduated as a senior in high school, just 10 minutes from that area. And that what he is talking about doing is not an easy job, especially in Pennsylvania. So thank you for your service and everything that you did for that community. But also talking about community, you have been involved in leadership positions within community organizations and fraternity foundations. What motivates you so much to give back to the community, and how has it shaped your professional life?
I've just always, it's funny you mentioned fraternity. You know, most people go through a college fraternity in 2-3 years and that's it. That's the end of their experience, and it's 2 years of social fun. To me, it was a lot more of that. And, you know, part of what our fraternity is founded on is something called 5 ideals. And one of those, the first ideal is leadership, loyalty, scholarship, and self-support. And that was drilled into us as freshmen when we were joining the fraternity about, it's not just a 2-year commitment, it's a lifelong commitment. It's a commitment to service. It's a commitment to leadership. And I gained invaluable experience through that college time. And I've just stayed involved with the fraternity ever since, even rising to the level of national president of the fraternity, which is no easy job, let me tell you, because
Widener, right?
These days, fraternities are under fire for a lot of reasons, and some of it justified. But but we need to get back to where fraternities were and that service component. It was service in academics was primarily one of the biggest reasons for fraternities and a fraternal bond. And we need to get, yes, there are social benefits. I recognize that.
No, yeah. It was academic. It was academics. Yes, you're 100% right. And the community, the camaraderie, just, you know,
you become your lifelong friends. I have friends that are fraternity brothers that pledged 60 years ago, and I have friends that are fraternity brothers that pledged last year. That lifelong bond you have is it's something that's always there.
Incredible. All right, so let's talk a little bit about future outlook, and then we'll get into some personal insight. So looking ahead, what are the biggest legal challenges you anticipate for mortgage servicers and lenders, especially as we emerge from the pandemic effects on the housing market? And I know that you talked about this a little bit earlier, but I want to know about the biggest legal challenges that people are going to face.
Well, there are a lot that are on the horizon. You can start from an economic standpoint right now is that, fortunately, unemployment has remained very low. And the default rate on mortgages is incredibly low, like historically low now. I mean, the number of loans in foreclosure is well below where it was pre-pandemic. Everyone had this fear. There's going to be a tidal wave of foreclosures. How many times did you hear that? And it just hasn't come to fruition. And some of the reason it hasn't come to fruition is, well, A, people are working. B, people have equity in their homes. But C, there's also a lot more loss mitigation opportunities out there for people to be able to get loan modifications or other means of relief from forbearance or deeds in lieu, whatever, which is a good thing. It's a good thing that the borrower gets to stay in their house. But that being said, we have so much regulatory compliance and new rules coming online, and it seems like coming online almost every day. We also have a lot more regulation by enforcement. So especially if and when these new changes to Reg X come in, that's going to be one of the biggest factors in the start of 2025 is complying with that. What's needed? You know, how is it going to be reviewed? How are the regulatory agencies going to view your compliance with it? I see a lot of challenges in that. And it's going to make the foreclosure process more difficult, more expensive. You know, Pennsylvania is a judicial state. And I always tell the joke that judicial is a Latin word meaning really long foreclosure. and it's true. It just continues to lengthen and lengthen the process. And while it may be good for a borrower to extend that timeline, overall, it's not a good thing because you have mounting costs. You have a lot of advances. You have property preservation, taxes, insurance. Somewhere along the line, that bill comes due, and it's going to be very costly. And the more programs and the more things we put in place, good intentions, and I agree with working with borrowers, but you also have to be cognizant of what it's doing to the judicial side of a foreclosure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with the rise of digital and automated processes in mortgage servicing, what do you see for the future of legal compliance, and how can firms like yours help servicers adapt to these changes?
I'll tell you what, AI is everywhere right now, and it's coming to the legal space. And I think it does have very valuable uses, but you got to be careful. It's like anything. You have to be very careful. The biggest thing facing the mortgage servicing industry and law firms is cybersecurity right now. There are people every day trying to hack, trying to break in, trying to steal stuff. And when you're dealing with the servicer and we're communicating, there's a lot of not just attorney-client privileged information going back and forth. You also have very serious private borrower data in there. And right now, I mean, the cost of compliance just for the cybersecurity side is becoming astronomical for both lender, servicer, and law firm. But it's something we have to do. So we see technology and stuff has its advantages, but then you also have its downsides of, wow, you know, the cost and the risk. Every time I send an email, there's a risk to it. So we have to provide every form of safety possible to protect that information.
Absolutely. And let's just go to the last question. I promise I'll get you out of here. I appreciate everything that you're doing. I appreciate the time that you're spending on the show. But as you look back on your career, what has been one of the most rewarding aspects of your work in mortgage law? And what legacy do you hope to leave within the legal and mortgage servicing industries?
Legacy do I hope to leave?
I mean, you've done a lot. I mean, you already have left a legacy, right? I mean, I don't want to make it seem like that you haven't done a lot already, but you're not done. Right? It's not over. You're not going to stop tomorrow, right? So
that's one beauty of law. I don't think I'd ever fully stop. I would still do cases here and there because I need to keep my brain active. Mm-hmm. But I would like the legacy to be, hey, we did professional, very quality work. We represented our clients well. And we place an emphasis on highly ethical work and providing utmost the best service to our clients and helping the industry, too, like being involved through Legal League. The industry needs a voice, and it needs a voice with state regulators, federal regulators. And I really enjoy that aspect of it and working to help the industry. You know, sometimes regulators actually can listen to you, you know, and if you have a voice and you explain, here's some of the ramifications of what you're proposing and what might be happening. You may have the best intentions in that regulation, but let's explain to you the complications that you're creating. And that's why it's key. You have to be involved, and you have to be involved from that advocacy level for your clients. It's not just in the courtroom, and it's not just sitting at your desk. It's more of being out there and being in a role And that's what I would like the legacy to be, that, hey, we did quality work. We represented our clients well and in the most professional manner.
Well, if you continue doing everything that you guys are doing right now, I know for a fact that that is definitely the legacy that you are going to live. You are listening to the MP Access Show with Mr. Stephen Laddick. That is the partner of Laddick, Honorado, and Fetterman. Last thing is, there are so many people that are going to be listening to this that say, hey, I want to get involved. I want to contact Mr. Laddick. I want to see what are the things that I can do. Maybe I have some questions, or maybe I have some concerns, or I just want to do some business with them. How do they get in contact with you or your organization? Where do they go?
Sure. Go to our website, hofflawgroup.com, or you can email me anytime, which is basically my name, SHLADIK at hofflawgroup.com.
I can't thank you enough for being on the show today. You've been such a great guest, and go Phils.
Hey, Red October. Let's go.